This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
2 hours down already, and we've done some baseball. We did some game seven already tonight with the Heat and the Boston Celtics. How much buzz? I mean, it's not. I keep wanting to say that it's game seven, but it's not. But does the hockey game have any buzz for you tonight in any way?
It does have a little because, you know, that series, not, again, it's not game seven, it's game six. So it's not quite to the same extent as the basketball series was. But that was another team that looked completely dead in the water. And for completely different reasons, because they fell apart from the beginning of the game in doubt. Did you see like the nonsense that went down there last week? Jamie Benn, your captain, completely loses his mind.
That's one way of putting it.
The fans start throwing things. I follow a bunch of Dallas writers, obviously, because I'm a Cowboy fan. So, and I saw a lot of them tweeting things to the extent of like, this is one of the darkest days in Dallas history. Like, this is disgusting the way the fans acted. It's disgusting the way Jamie Benn acted, and then to not take accountability for his actions, to basically leave the arena before talking to anybody, leaving his head coach Pete DeBoer, the former Devils coach, and his teammates to kind of answer questions for him. Like, it's bad enough if you do that as a player, but you're the captain. Like, you wear the C on your jersey.
Yeah,
like,
that's a bad look.
And then he comes back the next day and he just kind of says, "Oh well, I was falling and I was using my stick as like, come on, man.
No.
We all saw what you did.
No."
So that was kind of cowardly. So I thought when all that went down, I thought like, okay, Dallas is done. There's no way they're winning a game. And look, they've brought this back. I guess Ben is they won four, they won five, and I guess Jamie Benn is back for this one.
How much of a Mark man do you think he's going to be tonight? But see, here's the thing: you can't screw around.
You can't do that. I don't think they're going to go for him. Like he's faced enough. I shouldn't say enough because what he did was deplorable, but like he's kind of like gotten the scrutiny from everybody outside of that organization, and I'm sure they're kind of circling the wagons and protecting him because, again, he's their captain. He's their leader, allegedly. So once it gets out there, I think Vegas is just going to try to win. I think they're smart enough. They're not going to do anything stupid.
Well, you know what you can't do. Do not let Dallas win this game. Because you can't let Pete DeBoer get to a game seven.
Oh, we're doing that again.
We're doing it again. Don't let Pete DeBoer get behind the bench for a game seven. The guy is bulletproof in a game seven. He is a sure thing in a game seven. That to me would almost be more improbable than if the Celtics win this game tonight and come all the way back from 3-0 down. Like, Dallas just even getting to a game seven because they look dead in the water. And we were talking about it before. I wish that these two series were not happening on the same day. Too bad we didn't have the hockey game yesterday because they're going on at the same time as one another.
There'll be a lot of flipping back and forth.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, but even like, I got the two screens. I can't devote like 100% attention to both. I have to prioritize one over the other. And then if you throw in a baseball game on top of it, now thankfully, like tonight, you don't have, Mets aren't playing, Yankees don't play to what, almost 10 o'clock tonight out there in Seattle. So at least those games are going to be underway a little bit before the baseball gets going underway. But I hate the fact that they go up against one another at the same time. It drives me crazy.
Well, I'm sure they didn't anticipate that this was how it was going to go. Like, this was the saving grace for both leagues. I'm sure both commissioners are thrilled that all the series looked like they were going to be sweeps. And at least you got a little bit of something before the finals start for each respective sport. So it's better than nothing. But I'm sure they didn't anticipate it playing out like this.
Yeah, the two series that normally played on the other day, they ended. You know, they were quick ones with Denver winning, and of course with Florida winning. And nobody saw the Panthers doing what they did or what they've accomplished so far here on this run, which is crazy. So you got a game six tonight, even though it kind of feels like a game seven there with Dallas and the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's do a little football here because we haven't necessarily gotten into any of the news that was happening here over the long weekend. And on Friday, kind of like one of those typical, NFL news drops, late on a Friday afternoon, going into a holiday weekend where people aren't necessarily keeping track of the news wire, but the Arizona Cardinals decided to part ways with DeAndre Hopkins. Now, this is a Pro Bowl wide receiver, former All-Pro wide receiver, a guy who is as good as his craft, you know, in his prime, in his heyday, than any receiver in the NFL for a long time. You know, certainly before Deshaun Watson got down to Houston, this is a guy who was going out there and putting up numbers and doing his thing, despite the fact that he had very inconsistent and not exactly flattering quarterback play, to be quite honest with you. And then he gets traded to Arizona, and we know that that franchise is a mess. I mean, that goes without saying. But now they're turning over a new leaf, and the Cardinals clearly are in tanking mode right now. And they are, you know, stripping this thing down, save for the quarterback, which is another story for another time. So Arizona's just cut him loose. And they're going to take the $22 million cap hit, which comes along with it. They didn't even wait until June 1, where if you cut a guy after June 1, it at least saves you a little bit more. They says, the heck with it. We're moving on. We're done. They tried to trade him. But what team in their right mind would actually go out there and give up anything for this guy when you would then have to take on the remainder of that contract, which was $60 million over the next couple of years? So now Hopkins is a free agent, and anybody that wants to sign him, they just have to negotiate a deal with him. You don't have to bend over backwards and necessarily pay what was on his contract that he got there from the Redbirds. So who are the usual suspects, right? You're here in Baltimore, you're here in New England, you're here in Buffalo, you're here in, you know, don't even rule out Kansas City. I can actually see Kansas City getting them. And you talk about the rich getting richer, they find ways to do this. And Hopkins, he went on the Brandon Marshall I Am Athlete pod and talked about potentially what are some of the things that he is looking for in a new team.
What I want is stable management upstairs. I think that's something that I haven't really had, you know, past couple years of my career, coming from Houston to being in Arizona. A QB who loves the game, a QB who brings everybody on board with him and pushes not just himself, but, you know, people around him. And a great defense. I think defense wins championships. For me, I think that's the key. You got to have a great defense. You got to have a great D-line.
Anything else? I mean, any other, you know, do you have any particular preferences to, you know, what you want on the menu at the cafeteria, at the team facility too? I mean, that's a hell of a lot to ask for, especially for a guy who, let's also remind ourselves, who was suspended for 6 games last year because of violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy, right? And he is also 31 years old. Now, look, I still think he could play, but you're also talking about somebody who wasn't exactly there for his team when they needed him last season. Let's also not forget that this is somebody, too, who sat out the last couple of games last season. Not because of injury, not because, well, he just sat out. You know, because Arizona was a sinking ship and he didn't play those last couple of games. So I do think that this is a little bit of a cautionary tale, but do I think that DeAndre Hopkins can help either one of the teams that we have in this city? Yeah, you're darn right. Jets only have $7 million of cap space currently, presently. But when you look at their cast of wide receivers, I don't think that it's a glaring need as to maybe what it once was in previous years. Right? You got Garrett Wilson. You got Lazard. You got Mecole Hardman. You got Randall Cobb. Corey Davis is still here. And I can't foresee a scenario that, let's just say, if DeAndre Hopkins were to become a member of the Jets, I can't see him and Corey Davis still being on this team. Because Corey Davis counts $10.5 million on your cap. All right, so you're going to have to get a little bit creative as far as that's concerned. Giants, on the other hand, actually make a hell of a lot more sense to me for DeAndre Hopkins than, let's say, the Jets. But the Giants have even less cap space right now than the Jets have to work with. They're only around like $4.5 million of free space. But the Giants have more of a need for a game-breaking wide receiver than, let's say, the Jets do. Because Saquon Barkley's still unsigned. They have to get that thing straightened out. Saquon Barkley is the most important player on the Giants' offense. I know that Daniel Jones is the quarterback, and Daniel Jones makes the most money, but go back and trace the Giants offensively, at least last year. That team went as Saquon Barkley went. And as we're finding out now, as this negotiation has just dragged on and on and on, that maybe Saquon wants a little bit more than maybe we were led to believe. Because back in November, he turned down, what, $12 million? Then when the offseason got here, he turned down something in the neighborhood of like $13, $14 million a year. But he also said that, no, I don't want to maybe set the market as far as running backs are concerned in the NFL. And Christian McCaffrey is the guy who gets paid the most. He's at about $16 million per year. So if he wants to get paid in that neighborhood, it shouldn't be all that difficult. Unless you're the Giants and you look at it wisely from a business standpoint and say, we don't want to maybe devote as much to a running back. Because after all, the franchise tag is only $10 million and change. 14, 15, you know, that type of money per year is a lot for a running back, even if he happens to be somebody who is well-respected in your locker room, one of the leaders on your team, and a guy who's pretty important, too, for you on the field as well. It's funny that Hopkins and Saquon work out in the offseason. That's another little tie-in. But the Giants have to find a way to get Saquon done first. Darren Waller, I think, is going to be huge for this team this year. Really and truly. I think Waller, if he could just stay on the field, which has been a problem for him the last couple of seasons, but if Waller could stay on the field, I think he is going to be Daniel Jones' favorite target. But he's not a downfield threat. He's not a vertical threat to the extent that a guy like Hopkins is. And if you look at the rest of the wide receivers that they have on this team, the Slaytons, the Shepherds, you know, Paris Campbell's a guy that they signed. Hodgins they bring back. You know, they drafted Jalin Hyatt. None of these guys are true number ones. None of them are real game breakers like Hopkins can be. And one of the also kind of trickle-down things, when you bring in a receiver to the like of DeAndre Hopkins, if he's on top of his game, it also is going to open up a lot of running lanes for somebody like Saquon Barkley. It's going to free up the run game because defenses aren't going to be selling out to shut down the run like maybe they would in the past, especially when you had a stable of wide receivers with Daniel Jones as the quarterback, which weren't going to scare off an opposing defense. So one thing can actually help the other. So, yeah, if you're asking me, I think that Hopkins makes a heck of a lot more sense for the Giants than even for the Jets. Jets could go into the season tomorrow with the roster of wide receivers that they have right now, and I think they're more than fine. More than fine. I think the tight ends are going to be more productive this year, having Aaron Rodgers there as the quarterback. But Hopkins makes sense to me for the Giants. I just don't know if they could get it done financially. And as I said, I kind of think when the dust settles, he'll probably end up with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. Personally, 800-919-3776, because guys like Hopkins, who haven't won anything in his career and probably want to win, they would take less to go play in a championship organization, which the Kansas City Chiefs are. And oh, by the way, they got the best quarterback in the sport, too, in Patrick Mahomes. Let's say hi to Danny in Long Island up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Dan, what's going on this morning?
I just found out that DeAndre Hopkins also added to that list that he'd like his home team to make sure they have relish available for hot dogs.
Well, that, I mean, you know what? Dan, relish is a bold request. That's a bold
I like the red onions myself. But listen, in that little list he did, nice knock on his quarterback there, right? I like a quarterback that loves the game because we've heard that about that quarterback for 3 years now. Remember when they did the contract, it included you must study 4 hours a night or some kind of ludicrous thing that you
fantastic
see for like a high school kid.
Fantastic.
Ray, what's the game that he plays, the video game? That
I think he's a big Fortnite or Call of Duty
Fortnite
guy.
Yeah, it's Fortnite. Right, Fortnite, yeah.
So I agree with you, Kansas City. He'll go to a team that's going to win, and they'll bury him. They'll say, listen, we don't want to hear nothing from you. And he'll get his ring, and he'll get his stats. The big article that dropped this week in the Post, which made me very happy, is that finally Le'Veon Bell is sitting somewhere in a room alone realizing, oh, my God, I ruined my life. Finally had that moment where he's sitting there realizing, what did I do? Because I was a Pro Bowl quarterback on the Steelers, Hall of Fame trajectory. People forget how good he was, both on the ball and catching balls, I should say.
Yeah.
And now he finally realizes, I ruined my career, and I couldn't be happier to realize that he's finally come to his senses and went to the Jets and his career ended. Because the Giants running back is hanging out with Hopkins. You should have him read that article about Le'Veon Bell. Stay where you are, take your money. You'll make more money in the long term.
Dan, it's funny, and thanks for the call. I did see that. I was going to bring that up in a second here about Le'Veon Bell. Here's the problem with Le'Veon. And we know that, you know, when he signed with the Jets, the numbers paled in comparison to what he was as a Pittsburgh Steeler, when he was arguably the best running back in the NFL, right? The guy was an all-pro. Guy was, you know, one of the best offensive players in the entire National Football League. He comes to the Jets and he almost fell off a cliff, right? 1 year with the team, they part ways with him early in 2020, and then he kind of bounced around a couple of spots. And then it was always, oh, get him to a new team, get him to a new team, and then he'll figure this thing out, right? Ended up going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, what happens when he goes to Kansas City? Oh, a guy like Andy Reid is going to know how to use him. And, oh, with all that talent they have on that squad, now you're going to see the Pittsburgh Le'Veon Bell all over again. Well, that didn't happen, did it? Did it? The guy was inactive during their postseason run, did absolutely nothing. And then he tried to hook on, with Tampa Bay and what? Nothing. Nothing. So, yeah, everything you said about things not working out with the Jets, that's fine. And maybe he would have been better off staying in Pittsburgh, that's fine. But, you know, it's not like he ever was able to salvage anything in his career when the Jets moved on from him. So maybe instead of pointing the finger, maybe you point the thumb and say, maybe it's me. And by the way, I don't know if Le'Veon Bell really and truly is all kicking himself for leaving the Steelers, because guess what? He held out that year with Pittsburgh because he didn't want to play under the franchise tag. He wanted more money, wanted more guarantees, and he got that from the Jets. He got it. What did he get guaranteed from the Jets on that deal? $27 million, I think it was?
Yeah, I was telling you in your ear. I think he's fine with how things turned out. I don't think he's killing himself.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, look, I like Le'Veon. I do. Like, I got to know him a little bit when he was here in 2019. You know, talked to him on several occasions. He was a real down-to-earth dude. Not what you would expect. Because you have all these, preconceived notions of a guy who, is selfish. All he cares about is money. He's a me player. Couldn't have been anything further from that.
I've heard that about him a bunch of times, too.
When he was a Jay. Great dude.
Yep.
Great dude.
He's actually very thoughtful. And,
right.
And he gets his points across. And you don't get that vibe from him based on what everyone said about him over the years. But, yeah, that you do hear that from people.
Very approachable. Great dude. But he got his money. You know? He got his money. So holding out like he did, in the end of the day, he still won because he got paid because that's what he wanted. Now, sometimes the grass isn't always greener, as he found out. But he also took shots, at the former coach at the time, Adam Gase. And here's what he had to say. This was what is it called? The Steel Here Pod?
That's what it's called.
Sounds like a play on words there.
Mm-hmm.
I see what he did there. A couple of Steeler fans, basically. Here was Le'Veon Bell on the former coach of the Jets.
Bro, we get to New York, and that's why instantly find out, head coaches make a huge difference. Like, huge difference. Like, as soon as I get to New York, I find that out, the first week. Bruh. It's like, I knew it was going to be a battle. I knew it was going to be an uphill battle. I knew it. The team wasn't that great, don't get me wrong. But I feel like if Coach Tomlin was coaching that team, we win 9 games at least. But it's like to the point where it's like Sam Darnold is like, don't even know like the actual protection or what the Lions protecting, because he's so confused about our offense because the coach is confusing him. The play calling was terrible. It was a lot of things that were not going the way that obviously should have been going.
Well, a couple of things.
I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Right. Wish I wouldn't have done that. Here's the thing. A lot went wrong early on in the beginning of that season. A lot went wrong. Starting with the quarterback, who he mentioned, Sam Darnold. Remember, he came down with mono right after the first game of the season, and he missed about a month. You know, to where they were trotting Luke Falk out there for how many games? So they had no chance to win. Okay? Mike Tomlin, Adam Gase, Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick combined wouldn't have won a game with those Jets if Luke Falk was your quarterback. Fair?
Luke Falk, David Fales.
Same thing.
Pick a guy.
Right. I mean, it was, you literally went out there knowing you weren't going to score points. Right? And we did the game. We were sitting here and, Greg and I looking at each other, like, you went in with expectations of essentially, well, not going to be a high scoring game, to where if the defense, had a couple of slip ups, and they were playing, they went up to New England during that stretch. They went to Philadelphia. They played Cleveland on that Monday night. Like, they played good teams while they were trotting out a guy who, was essentially a practice squad quarterback. They had no shot. So the season got off to a horrible beginning. They started off 0-4, whatever it was, and then thankfully the Cowboys came into town. I had to go there.
I got to tell you, that game may have been one of the most angry that I've ever been.
You should have
like,
been.
Like at a Cowboy game in recent memory. Like since past my childhood where I matured a little bit, like I wanted to break things after losing that game.
And I still thought.
And that's when people like love Greeny. Well, that was when Greeny was proclaiming at the time, oh, Sam Darnold, way better than Dak Prescott. Well, I lost my mind when that happened.
Well, guess what? People are still proclaiming it now. You know,
I'll tell you what, Seb's in line for a big year out there at San Francisco. I can see it. I can see it all happening.
I'm telling you,
for a huge year.
The way they're talking up Sam Darnold, and I love Sam. Sam's my guy. It's my dude. He's a great dude. Okay. They're talking him up out in the Bay Area. If you take out the name Sam Darnold, I mean, you think you're reading about Joe Montana or Steve Young or something like that.
No, just wait.
It's unbelievable. Just wait. It is unbelievable. Like Brock Purdy or no Brock Purdy, Sam's going to be the quarterback there. Sam in that offense with Kyle Shanahan, now he's got somebody who knows what he's doing and blah, 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 blah. It's going to be so quarterback friendly. It's going to be easy on the quarterback. Sam Darnold's going to have a breakout year.
Listen, Mr. Irrelevant took that team to the NFC Championship game. So
he did indeed.
So,
and nothing would make me happier too for him to have success. Seriously, Sam, I hope he does. I hope he crushes it. But look, there were a lot of issues with that team. And Le'Veon Bell, you know what? When they got the quarterback back under center and they even started winning some games, because remember, they somehow put together a 7-win season that year. They played good ball, you know, midway point, second half. You know, schedule was a little conducive, but they were winning games. But Le'Veon Bell never got his season jump started. And you can't blame that all on the head coach. You know, Le'Veon Bell got carries. He had opportunities. I think Le'Veon Bell's longest run that year, I don't even know if he had a 20-yard run.
I think you're right.
I don't even think he had a 20-yard run that season. And not only that, he just, even when he was in the open field, he just didn't have that burst. I mean, he's a very methodical, very deliberate runner to begin with. Like, when he gets the ball, you know, he's not one of these guys who hits the hole, like, bang. He kind of sits there and lets everything kind of, you know, develop in front of him, and then he kind of picks and chooses. But even when he did kind of hit that second level, dried up really quick. He wasn't running away from anybody. And that's on the player. Was it a perfect situation with the coaching staff? Of course not. But, you know what? Sometimes the player's got to accept that responsibility, too. And that's where he's a little bit off.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Dan Grasso in for the guys on this Memorial Day. Hope everybody is having a great one. Starting their holiday off right. 800-919-3776, the telephone. I got to tell you, though. I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but hasn't the whole like holiday weekend thing kind of flown by? Like it's already Monday. Like where did the weekend go?
Maybe because the weather was like super nice and hopefully you got a chance to go outdoors and whatnot. But how are we at Monday, right? That makes sense?
Went by pretty fast. And I tell you, I spent a lot of the weekend just trying to make sure that I avoided the chaos of the Taylor Swift concert because I live so close to the stadium these days.
Dude,
but
let me tell you something. I had no idea. Like, I'm not all up on the Taylor Swift stuff. Obviously,
I got to tell you, I could not tell you one song of hers beyond like the catchy, like everyone knows the chorus part. I don't know the titles. I know nothing.
I'm right there with you. And even my wife isn't like a huge, huge, huge fan. I mean, she probably knows more than you and I do. But like, she's not like, you know, not once did she say to me, hey, could we go to one of these concerts? She didn't say that to me one time, like whenever, not that I would have been able to maybe get tickets anyways, but whatever. Just the sheer like pandemonium that went along with these shows. I couldn't believe it. Like, I know that the tickets went on sale like late last year and everybody was freaking out with Ticketmaster and they couldn't, you know, get the code and, you know, the site kept crashing and everybody was, you know, boo-hoo because they couldn't get tickets. And all right, that happens. You know, I get it. But first of all, it didn't process that there was three of them. It was during the holiday weekend, no less. Like, why would they schedule them for the holiday weekend? That you're really asking for trouble when you talk about congestion and traffic and the whole nine yards. And I guess they went off without a hitch. Like, I didn't hear any sort of issues or read anything online that this wasn't working and there was traffic and people couldn't get in or people couldn't get out. And, you know, there was some sort of error and they were stuck at the gates for 2 hours because the scanners wouldn't work. Or I guess everything was A-okay. No arrests, at least none that I, you know, heard of. So I guess everybody had a good time.
And seems that way. Didn't hear any negatives.
Yeah. And among those that took in multiple shows, believe it or not, was our good buddy, the quarterback of the New York Jets. How about that?
So he's a big Swiftie?
He's a Swiftie. Self-proclaimed. Self-proclaimed. He said he was going to a show. Like last week they asked him, he said he was going to go to a show. But you didn't know which one. So he went, what was it, Saturday, right? He goes Saturday. And then, much to I think a lot of people's surprise, Ray, he was back there last night too. He went two nights in a row.
Who knew?
Hanging out in the VIP tent with all the big fans.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
So you're going to be there this weekend. Now, who do you go to Taylor Swift with?
I got some friends who are also big fans who are kind of in my age group, so we're going to go together.
Well, that was with my buddy Adam Schein over on Mad Dog last week when Aaron went on, and he was asked what his favorite song and album are.
My favorite album is Folklore. My favorite song off that album is probably August.
He's on.
He could just be making that up. I would have no idea what he's talking about.
No, that's legit. That, like, he knows what he's talking about because I think he also, like, dropped what his favorite video is. He actually knew a video. I can't tell you the last time I actually sat and watched a music video because I didn't even know there still were music videos. There's no MTV anymore. So I guess he's all.
Is that officially over?
There's no MTV.
No, I saw that MTV was going out of business. But
MTV News is done.
Dead.
And the only thing that MTV has is, like, TV shows, right? Like, they have all those, like, fake reality type programs.
Shame.
So, no, I mean, like, he came from... I don't think you manufacture that type of an answer. Like, you have to know what you're talking about. And, hell, he went to two straight shows. He was hanging out with Miles Teller, the actor, who was in the new Top Gun, among other things, and his wife, and they went on vacation, I guess, a couple of years ago to Hawaii together, vacationing together. And he was there on, you know, the internet, social media, like, everybody's got the phone, everybody takes the picture, they spot you. So they got him early checking into the VIP tent on the floor on Saturday, and then lo and behold, they spotted him again on Sunday. He was talking it up with Paul Rudd at last night's show. Ant-Man goes to see Taylor Swift.
I don't even know how to respond.
I mean, it's not just that.
These guys are all Swifties, I guess.
I guess so.
I'm a Swiftie.
Well, no, you're not.
Kay went, right? He went on Friday.
I saw at least a Friday Kay went. I don't know if he pulled an Aaron Rodgers and went on Saturday.
What I'm curious to see, like, seriously, I mean, maybe Kay could talk about it, but people that did go, I just want to know logistically, like, if you had a car and you were driving, how bad of a traffic nightmare it was for you and an inconvenience.
Well, I, like, made points when I had to go on any sort of excursion, shopping. You talked to me.
Well, you
the
and I talked and, on Friday right. afternoon. And, you and, wanted and I was to get grocery out and about.
Shopping. I was grocery shopping yeah. for the weekend.
Very smart and, by you.
And I made a point to just avoid any of that Route 3 traffic. So I didn't see any, even to the stadium traffic. I think I lucked out at that point. But I know that they had regulations that said if you didn't have a ticket to the concert, you couldn't get in the parking
which is,
lot.
Which, by the way, was ended up being bogus. Because
really?
I saw, yeah, because I saw people like on the news and so on and so forth.
So people were tailgating.
They were tailgating. They showed a bunch of people, like I saw the videos online of a bunch of, you know, packs of, they were mostly girls, like packs of them just like sitting there and singing along to the songs while they were being performed in the stadium and they were out in the parking lot.
What do you bring to a Taylor Swift tailgate?
Taylor Ham.
Nice.
Come on, give me a real one. Give me a full one. Give me the full. There you go. Thank you. I mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't want to cross her based on the lyrics of most of her
wow.
songs. So.
Right, they write a song about you, and then you get scorned forever.
I thought that was only if you were like an ex or something. So, like, any sort of. I mean, did Kanye get one? Did Kanye get a song?
I don't know. I don't know the catalog well enough.
See, if Kanye got a song. Then we're talking because he definitely crossed her, right? If you can think of anybody that crossed Taylor Swift.
But here's what I like. I'm trying and I'm. I guess she's popular, but she's not at that Taylor Swift level. Last summer, we went to the Lady Gaga concert at MetLife Stadium. Again, not my cup of tea, but a good friend of mine who works at the stadium offered me a pair of suite tickets for the show. So, no charge. I said, absolutely. I asked my wife, would you like to go? She said, sure. Yeah, why not? What? Let's go. So, we went. We had a great time. Great time. In a suite. Food and drink were fantastic. I can't stress that enough. The music, the show, whatever. But, you know, that's kind of like a younger crowd. And I would assume kind of like similar to the type of age range that would maybe be at the Taylor Swift concert. Point I'm making is this. We drove. We had a spot in the main lot. Getting out of there that night was hell on earth. Like, it took us forever to get out of the complex. Like, they had us, they were routing us back around, like, you know where the Giant training facility is, Ray? Like, over there?
Yep.
And we were back behind there, and then it took us forever to get back on the turnpike and the main road. So my point is,
it's not ideal trying to get out of
it's
there.
It's not ideal. And I don't think that show was anywhere near the pandemonium that ensued for one of these. That's what I'm saying. It must have been, it probably took you hours to get out of there if you had a car.
Well, better you than me. That's all I can say. God bless you.
Javi's in the car. He was at the show last night. I got to hear the breakdown. Javi, good morning. What's going on, my friend?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. So you were at the show.
I was at the show. Well, we got tickets. Luckily, we were in a suite. You know, not bad the price. You know, I know it's insane the price, but for a suite, it was not bad. It was honestly, you know, it was for my wife. She wanted to go. We went. It was actually what you're saying. You're going to be surprised. It was one of the most incredible. I'm going to be deaf for a week. It was the loudest I've ever been in a stadium in my life. I swear, when she started singing, MetLife was shaking, and I looked at my wife. I'm like, it's shaking. I've never experienced something like this. It's a real thing, the Swifties. And honestly, getting out of the stadium, it was not that bad. It took about 20, 25 minutes. We parked at the end of the lot. We right when she finished, we got out. It was not as bad as you say, but it was really one of the most incredible experiences, concerts I've ever been to.
Well, you know what? I did read along those lines that they said how crazy loud it was, and I even, like, read a couple people saying that it was, like, shaking and stuff. But I'm glad you had a good time, and I'm glad that you got out of there and no problem, too, Javi. That's good. And I guess maybe because, you know, if like, it's younger kids who are going to the show, and obviously they don't have driver's license, they all kind of, like, pack into one car, right? And so maybe, yeah,
yeah,
right. So you have like less cars in the lot.
Yeah, there's a parent pickup sign outside the stadium I saw. It was kind of funny.
And they didn't want them hanging around for that reason, I guess. Like that, as Ray was saying, they didn't want them because it would have just created some craziness.
You would think the Giants, Jets won the Super Bowl in that stadium and the last second touchdown, Hail Mary. It was like the whole show was just loud. And
it was and it was 3.5 hours I saw, right?
Yeah, it was started. She came out around 7:50 and it ended around 11:30.
That's insane. See, I never would have guessed that because I thought there'd be like opening acts and that sort of thing, which is kind of like part and parcel now for a lot of like the modern acts.
There was two opening acts actually. It started at 6:30.
Wow. And so she still performed for 3.5 hours.
She performed for 3.5 hours.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Well, Javi, I'm glad you had a good time. Thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate the 411 on the show. 3.5 hours, man. At least you're getting your money's worth. If you had to go through hell to get the tickets, you know, that's something those people are going to remember at least. That's like Springsteen territory, 3.5 hours. Dang.
Kudos to her. That's impressive.
Yeah, kudos to her. And you know what? Kudos to her as a performer. That, as I said, people that had to, you know, God knows what they had to give up or where they came from to get these tickets, which a lot of people were like giving up their firstborns to get them. You got your money's worth. You know, that's what you want when you pay for something. So, hey, hopefully that stadium is going to be rocking this year in the fall / the winter for the football teams. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers got a little bit of a taste of it, of what that place could hopefully sound like when he was at the couple of concerts here the last two nights.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Jet quarterback taken in the shows last couple of nights at MetLife Stadium and others as well. You know, nothing wrong with trying to test out the new digs, right? New stomping grounds, getting the lay of the land there at MetLife Stadium. It's his new home. Hopefully there's going to be a lot more celebratory moments come the fall here at MetLife Stadium. And we know one guy who's going to be there at those games. It's our buddy Ira in Staten Island. He's up next here on 98.7. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Dan. Hope you're enjoying the holiday. And you're right, man. Just wait till you get a little older. You know, the days just fly by. I can't believe the weekend's over. And but you're talking about Swift before I get to the Jets.
Yeah.
That's three of the girls I went with, that I work with, they went to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they said there was no problem. You know, I guess they gave themselves enough time. And they were smart. They stayed about a half hour after the show, and they pulled right out. That they said, I mean, I had no idea. I mean, to me, this is like the Beatles coming to Shea Stadium. I can't believe it was that big of a deal. But I'm just glad people had a good time. And you were talking earlier about, you know, with Bell's comments and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've been way critical of Donald. But, I can't lie. His first year in training camp as a rookie, you thought he had all the tools. And, you know, part of it was his fault, part of his coaching. But I think he's going to have a good year in San Francisco if he wins that job, and I think he will. And as for that season, you know, it's amazing. Like you said, they got off to this horrendous start with that forked quarterback and Mono and all that stuff. But somehow, some way, you know, they entered Cincinnati somewhere about 4-6, 4-7.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they lost that game. They still recouped. But correct me if I'm wrong, they did go 5-2 and 6-2 down the road. you know, that at the end of the season.
Yeah, like you said, that Thanksgiving weekend game. Remember, Cincinnati was winless up until that point, right? And everybody thought that was an easy win. And then Andy Dalton gets back in the starting lineup, and the Jets it's almost like they didn't show up that day.
And it started from the first drive, and I like Berrios as a player, but that was his two biggest hiccups as a Jet. The Minnesota drop last year, and that opening drive against the Bengals, I'll never forget it. Donald marches them right down the field. They're somewhere in the red zone, and on a third down, he drops the ball, and that was it. You didn't hear from the Jets the rest of the day.
Yeah, and isn't it amazing? And you know, Ira, look, who knows what this season's going to have in store, but thanks for the phone call. Just looking a couple of years, how much this roster has turned over. That's the thing I keep coming back to. Even just going back to like 1920, it's like the roster is unrecognizable from then until now. And, you know, Robert Saleh, for example, talking about last week, I'm sure, you know, we all talked about it, how at his press conference he said there's, you know, 6 to 8 teams that can win a Super Bowl, and they're one of them. You know, when was the last time you had a Jet coach go up there and say that stuff and actually, like, believe it? And when he says it, you would believe it. Rex, right? I mean, those years, last time they were in the playoffs, going to back-to-back championship games. You know, you don't bring in Aaron Rodgers to just make the playoffs. You bring in Aaron Rodgers because you think you can win a championship. So he has every right to think exactly just that. Let's say hi to Bob in Jersey. He's up next here on 98.7. Bob, how are you?
Hey, morning, Dan. How you doing?
Hey, Bobby, what's going on?
To bring up Robert Saleh, we all know it's Jet fans. We got the talent. I mean, we have the major, major talent. But this coach scares the heck out of me. Between the in-game game management, the opposing teams having third and short, and the DBs laying off. So it's like, specifically the Viking game, where we just gave up three first downs, couldn't get off the field. And finally, how he didn't. He rode with Zach in the second Patriot game, never benched him. He scares the heck out of me. And let me ask you this, because I've never heard a definitive answer. Did Robert Saleh have to get permission to bench Zach? Because it's still incomprehensible to me how he left Zach in the second half of that Patriot game. And you can say, you know what? Maybe give him the third quarter, but the fourth quarter, you could see the Jets' offense. He was playing for a tie. And to me, it was just mind-boggling how he left them in. So I'd really like to hear your take on that.
The answer is no. He didn't have to get permission to bench him. He just didn't. And what I think went into it, and I mean, that's such a long time ago, but I agree with you. I think if Mike White goes into that game, Mike White at least leads them down the field for a field goal, and they win the game. That's all, like you said, that's all they would have needed was a field goal because the defense wasn't giving up any points that day. You know, New England was awful, and the Jet defense had them figured out too. What I think he was guarding against, and I think ultimately it kind of proved itself to be true, young player like that, still trying to find his way in the NFL, a guy you still have hopes for to be your franchise quarterback, I think if you pull him in that situation, you risk losing him for the rest of the year. And when I say losing him, I mean you lose him mentally. And I think in some sort of ways, that kind of played itself out.
Yeah, but Dan, Zach didn't show really anything. We were, 5-2? Despite Zach, we were winning because of the defense, Breece Hall, and you could say, you know what, yeah, we're going to lose Zach, but it's sure enough, I mean, you could say we lost the locker room, you know, because there was a mutiny. Let's face it. There was a mutiny. The players couldn't stand that, you know?
Well, Bob, the other thing about it, too, is, and I thank you for the phone call, remember, they still didn't know kind of sort of what they had with Mike White. I mean, they did, but they didn't. Right? Because remember, at the beginning of the season, when Zach Wilson was hurt, Joe Flacco was the one who started games, not Mike White. Joe Flacco played those first three games. So at that point, I don't think that they wanted to necessarily go back to Joe Flacco and put him in cold in the second half. They were hoping that Zach Wilson, because as you said, there were games they were winning and Zach Wilson wasn't really necessarily playing top flight football, but yet they were finding a way. And I think that they were hoping that they were just going to find a way again, but it didn't. And it was so bad. And then you had what happened after the game, when he met the media to where that kind of turned a lot of people off. And then what happened, though? They came back. Well, no, that was the final straw, right? Because prior to that New England game, they beat the Buffalo Bills with Zach Wilson. And then after that Patriot game, they decided to make the move to Mike White. And then Zach Wilson was kind of like a guy who, you know, we didn't really hear much from the rest of the year. And he had to only play again because Mike White got hurt. Mike White doesn't get hurt. Zach Wilson doesn't see the field again. And the Jets probably make the playoffs. Now, I still think they probably go out and try to upgrade the position in the offseason. But if you really want to play 6 degrees of separation, if Zach Wilson doesn't struggle to the extent that he did in that New England game and, you know, the games that preceded it, for example, then Aaron Rodgers isn't the Jet quarterback right now. So it's like you had to go through that to lead you to where you are right now, which I think any Jet fan would probably, or is probably thanking their lucky stars that, hey, I got a future Hall of Famer as my signal caller going into the season, and I'm probably as confident than I've ever been that this team is going to go out there and do some special things.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.